Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Welcome back in. 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, make your ride on Davenport with you. Joined in studio by the Liberty football coach, Hugh Freeze. Coach Freeze, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for letting me stop in and say hello to you guys and some old friends here and Mickey and Dawn. And good to be with you guys.
What brings you to Nashville?
Recruiting.
Oh, you know, yeah.
There's a little bit of talent around here, just a little bit.
It's that time of the year, you know, and I've always, whether I took over at Lambeth University or Arkansas State or Ole Miss, I always tried to build a core of our team from kind of Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia. I tend to relate to those families pretty well, so that's why I'm here.
How different is that challenge, that recruiting challenge, based on level?
Yeah, it's of course, I've done it at every level, from right. NAIA and then mid-major at Arkansas State, and then obviously Power Five at Ole Miss, and that was my most recent stop. And so things are a little different now. Is you're evaluating guys on tape, and you're like, I don't know if I'd take him, but then you're like, well, we're not playing Alabama. Maybe he looks better now. Let me rewind and let me look at it again in comparison. So there's been some adjustments for me that I'm still probably in the process of making.
I know we'll go back at some point during this conversation, but you talk about that, and you had a chance to take maybe coordinator positions at many SEC schools. I know there were rumors all over the place.
A lot of people in this state wanted to see you wearing, you know, your visor on the Tennessee sidelines as EOC.
There was one in this room that was looking for you to wear some orange and blue, but
we were a house divided right there.
Yeah, Tennessee and Auburn.
Yes, we were. But why Liberty? Why that job? Why that decision at this time?
Yeah, that it was not easy, Dawn, and truthfully, it's there's still times when you make those decisions. I've never been one that's been great knowing, man, this is absolutely the right thing to do. I have been one, though, once I do it, man, let's go do it. And and so that's kind of the mode you're in. And why would simply be the vision and resources that administration was ready to put behind the football program moving full-fledged into FBS for the first full-fledged year will be this year, and with an opportunity. I've always seen myself, my wife will tell me too, Hugh, you're a builder. You really don't need to stay anywhere much longer than 5 to 7 years. And, whether you look at Lambeth or at Arkansas State or at Ole Miss, I've been able to take programs that maybe weren't doing as well as expected at times, and push through that ceiling that they were at fairly quickly, and that kind of motivated me also. But really, it was just the vision of the people, the resources that they put behind it, and it's a special place with special people and a special mission. It's obviously, I'm a person of faith. That certainly people, when I say that, people seem to think that I'm saying I have it all figured out. I'm far from that, as everyone knows, and I'm far from perfect. But that does give me an opportunity to be a part of something I really believe in, too, and to be a head coach. You know, I really felt like, you sit around when you have the off time like I had, and you kind of are writing in your journal or your notebook or whatever, kind of the way you see it playing out. And truthfully, I really thought it would be coordinator first before being a head coach again, and was fully anticipating doing that. I was really kind of excited about it because, man, don't have to do as much media, and you just get in a room and figure out how to score points again, which is kind of what I motivated me too. But then when presented with this opportunity and everything that the vision they had, it just, I don't know, it felt right to go back in and be the head coach. And I'm at an age in my life where some of the things that give me great joy are things like hiring former players. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do that as a coordinator. You'd have to go in and kind of coach with the guys there, or maybe bring one guy, but you're not going to bring a guy that you just coached into the SEC. And, man, I got to hire Tanner Burns and R.J. Fleming and Ben Agamoah and, you know, just some other good guys. And all those guys played for me. This their first opportunity, and that gives me great joy.
I'm sure Tennessee fans, Auburn fans, they would wonder – How close were you to making a decision maybe to go and do the OC gig at one of those schools or any of those schools?
Well, you know, everything kind of played out in different time cycles. And, you know, the interest that I received from some of those schools was incredible for me at this point in my life. And I was prepared to take any of those should they all come through. And, you know, I'd be lying if I was saying there wasn't one that I really you know, have always kind of thought about and dreamed about and all those things. But, you know, for whatever reason at this time, some things don't work out on other people's
and
ends.
One talking and, about maybe a relationship you have with another coach, chance to
well,
work with
I mean,
that
I've
person.
I've always talked with Gus about working with him, and I just love him, love his family, love his wife. He's been one of the most loyal friends through a difficult season in my life, and he just never wavered and just fought for me. And, you know, I think he's a heck of a football coach too. And so, you know, all of those things pull you in those directions should you receive offers from those places. And, you know, but again, it just kind of came back to, man, I think this is for the restart for my family. And to be a head coach again, this kind of felt right.
What was the conversation with your wife and your kids and your family as you're looking to jump back in and take this next step? What was it like? Kind of, I guess, let us in on the inside. Yeah. Was it you? What do you guys think? What are we doing? Fill us in here.
It really was. And I typically, my kids are older now. You know, Reagan's 20 and Jordan's 19 and Madison's 16.
Which is hard for me to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember them.
You guys go way back.
Yeah.
I saw pictures of them at I don't know where. Maybe RJ had some from our days at Arkansas State. And I just forget how, I mean, they were tiny.
Oh, gosh.
And,
yes.
And so... I tried to include everybody in this. It never was unanimous. It was
it
always,
never will be.
Oh, yeah. You know, of course, Jordan was at Auburn going to school, and Reagan's at Ole Miss going to school, and of course, Madison's got her friends and volleyball team and all, and a comfortable life. And I've got dear friends in Oxford. I mean, my closest friends are there, and man, we played golf all the time. I got a great church there, so it just. It wasn't an easy decision. It really came down to, I really lean on my wife now more than I ever have as to, you know, what is your gut telling you? What is your spirit telling you? She prays about things so much. And I just, you know, I kind of wanted to lean on her, and she pointed out some great things to me about how I'm made, and she's right. And the things that motivate me and drive me and that give me joy at this point in my life. And she kind of felt like, man, I think Liberty's the one. As much as I know you want to go to stay in the SEC or go help, go be with a friend and coach, or you know, I kind of leaned on her. And then just hearing the vision they had, it really motivated me.
Welcome back in 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, Don Davenport, Coach Hugh Freeze with us. And you mentioned taking the job at Liberty, and you had other options. Was there an element to maybe being under the radar a little bit outside of that SEC world that might make sense right now into transitioning back into the game?
Yeah, Brent, I think you that absolutely was one of my wife's points, too, was... Yeah. you know, obviously, I mean, everything's been written about 1,000 times over. Some of it's accurate, some of it's not. But regardless,
that's why I'm glad you're here. Yeah,
but regardless of exactly whether it's accurate or not, the facts are that that hurt was a part of my journey at a place that I care deeply for in Ole Miss. And part of the, when you're thinking about all these things, man, we're going to have to play those kids that I recruited, all those friends that I have there, and who knows what the outcome of that would be should I stay in. Maybe a little more time under the bridge would be helpful with that. My flesh doesn't want to hear that. My pride doesn't want to hear that, you know. But my wife is, she was dead on with that, I think. And I think that did play a role in it. And, was probably rooted in wisdom from her, not from me, but I think that did play a part.
You mentioned in the previous segment, a difficult season in your life. We all have those.
Everybody.
Yeah. And, yep. I'm curious though.
Everybody doesn't have to play theirs out on.
That's
on every,
what I was going right, yeah. Most of ours are not. They're in not front national page news. Media, exactly. Yeah.
No, and that's a great point. But yeah. I'm curious if there is a positive element that to come through that. Number one, the other side. Number two, you mentioned Gus, and you know, he was there during that time. I'm curious. The positive element has to be, you know, who your friends are.
Listen, the. I've been amazed. I don't think I lost a single friend that really was a true friend that really spent time getting to know me, know who I am. But when you know somebody and you grow with somebody, you also know that, man, they don't have it all figured out, or they're not perfect. And they're, you know, one step from stupid, just like I am. But you love them anyway. And because you know what their heart's like and you know really what they're about. And, people like Gus and all my other friends too. I can't, you know, I don't want to call, start calling them out, but they know who they are, and they've just been as loyal and strong. And, you know, my pastor has been incredible. He's a dear friend, and just, you know, we understand that, I can never be good enough on my best day to earn God's grace, and I can't ever be bad enough on my worst day to lose it. I mean, that's the thing with grace. And I think that's the way you judge friends is Amanda, they love you on your good days, on your bad days, and when you're written about all over the world, and it feels like anyway, and truthfully, your mind can probably play tricks on you and think that you're being talked about more than you are. I know I was for a good bit around this part of the country, but there's probably a lot of people that didn't pay me as much attention as I would think. And, you know, you just get to a point, though, where you're like, I did realize that one of the idols I had in my life was my name, and that come. That's not a terrible thing.
It's a really honest thing.
But when it gets to a point where you really have more pride in that maybe than the true compassion and passion for doing what you do, that could be an issue. But what you find is when it's seemingly destroyed in the public eye. By a lot of people, you kind of find out that it really doesn't matter that much anyway what they say or think, and you get to a point where you're just like, I know who I am, my wife knows who I am, good and bad, my kids know who I am, my friends know who I am, and you know what, I owned everything I've ever done. And it paid a heck of a price for it, and it's time to move forward. And all the people that just want you to live in that muck and mire, I'm not made that way, and I don't want anyone to go through that. Anyone.
Right.
I don't care who they are or what they've done. I don't wish anyone to go through that. And I just got to a point where, you know what, I'm done. I've owned everything I've done, and I doubt many people, I doubt a lot of people ever have to do that. And man, I'm moving forward, and that's where my wife and I got. And again, this issue dates a lot further back than when people thought they knew what really happened. So it's been a long time for us to move forward.
Well, yeah, Hugh Freeze with us. Here's what I appreciate about you coming in here and telling this part of your story is that, you know, people listening right now are going through things hearing you talk about there is another side to this and there is an out through this this prism helps them, right?
I can't begin to tell you. I wish this wasn't my story. I do, but it is. And but in the last year and a half, as Jill and I have traveled around and shared our story, I created an email just basically for this, to reach out to my former players, is how it started. And they've been the biggest encouragement to me as man, coach, pops, whatever you call me. Man, the impact you had on me changed my life, and you need to remember that you need to be in this coaching. And now I find that when I go in these homes, I not only can relate to them and tell when I followed my core values, the good things that happened, but now I'm very transparent. So let me tell you what happened when I didn't. Yeah. And those families are relating to it because they're going through it. But my point is, when Jill and I would go and talk, I mean, I would get hundreds of emails. Hey, coach, you don't know me, but I'm going through this. I'm going through that. I'm going through this. And it gives us an opportunity to say, look, there is another side to it. It's not pain free, but you can get better through the trials. And it's sort of like I kind of had integrity, I think, messed up in my mind. And integrity to me is not always doing what's right, or none of us would have it. I don't think anyone could raise their hand and said you always did it right all the time. But it is, integrity to me is when you don't get it right, you own it, you accept the consequences, and you make the necessary changes, and then you play the next play. And that's the way I've handled this. It hasn't been fun. Do I agree with everything that happened? No. But ultimately, I have to own that I caused some of it. And no matter how much it got talked about inaccurately, or were the penalties just, or any of that stuff, it really, if I stay in that mindset, I just wallow in it, and I never get better. And so I just encourage people, man, own it, accept the consequences, make the necessary changes, and, man, play the next play. Life's not over.
Did you ever doubt that you'd be back coaching during that time?
Honestly, no. I never did. I just, there were probably days where I doubted, do I really want to, maybe? But that wasn't, I knew that wouldn't last. And it got to a point around our house where the girls, Jill and Reagan and Jordan and Madison, Dad, it's time for you to go back to work.
I bet they were.
I mean, I'm getting up in the morning. Hey, Jill, what can we do today? You know, I'm not playing golf until noon. So can we clean something? Can we, what do you want to do? And she's like, it's time for you to go back to work. I just knew that there was too many people that, I think that know me for who I really am, and we've made, regardless of what happened in my personal life 3 years ago, the facts are still true that our program has impacted kids positively. We've won games. It's changed lives. We've won games. We've made programs better everywhere I've been. I don't like the way the last one ended, obviously. And again, I'm not saying that to say that I did nothing wrong. What I'm saying is you have to look at both sides of it, too. I mean, this issue was a personal issue. It had nothing to do with the way I was impacting kids, coaching kids. So I think I think there was enough people that saw and witnessed that if would sit down and visit with Jill and I and hear our whole story, would say, you know what? He deserves to be coaching.
Welcome back in. 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, Don Davenport, visiting with Coach Hugh Freeze. And I noticed, Coach Liberty, you mentioned FBS. Independent, and there's a home game with Syracuse. Did I see that on the schedule?
You got to talk to the scheduling
game
coach.
On, right?
Yeah, I'm telling all the recruits. I mean, you come with us, and we consider ourselves a group of five school, budgetarily, resource wise, and I think our resources are probably better than most group of five, maybe some power five, but I'm saying you can come to us and play a Power 5 schedule, because we're playing four or five of those right. guys every year, you know, and we've got four next year. But we do get to open at home with Syracuse. My best guess is they'll be a top 15 team probably off this past year. Yeah. The job Dino's done there has been impressive. Mm-hmm. But Mickey was with me at Arkansas State, and we get those opportunities. And I always felt like, man, it's just an opportunity. I don't see a negative in that one at all. And other than, you know, I'm trying to convince somebody to put it on national TV, maybe on a Thursday night or Friday night. ESPN would
that
be
makes sense. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it would I can sell that.
Yeah, we yeah. should. I'd like to see that happen, but what an exciting opener it will be for our kids, our fans, our school, and it'd be a tall task, but also an opportunity.
You mentioned back at Arkansas State, you get there in 2010 as the offensive coordinator for a guy named Steve Roberts. Yeah. But it was an interesting story how you even got there, how you landed at Arkansas State.
Yeah, my wife has never really lost it on me in football wise, on my decisions. But that was one time that she just broke down and just said, "I tell you what, you get me settled somewhere." I mean, like now. she let me know. But we had gone from Lambert to the West Coast to San Jose.
Right.
Moving truck shows up in San Jose. Jill and the girls land there. They get to the place, and I say, "We need to have a meeting." I think I'm fixing to go back to Arkansas State. And she just, you know, it was one of those moments where, all right, this is it. What are we doing? And I need to know now.
Mickey always tries to sell everybody on Jonesboro because they have like a huge Walmart, right? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, you know, I'll say this.
We had Golden Tate's brother on the show. He's like, man,
Wesley Tate. Yeah.
We've got a huge Walmart.
You would back me up on this, though. There are some fantastic people there. And what you did in 2011 there, you talk about being a program builder. And anytime your name comes up, I always talk about the program had talent, and the head coach was a fine man, and there were some great young men in that program, but for some reason they didn't win, and you took over a program that had won four games the previous year and had averaged about three or four wins, and you guys won the Sun Belt Conference.
Or 11. Was it 10 or 11?
They won 10. and to me, everything started, and I know we got a lot of listeners in Bowling Green, with a win on the road at Western Kentucky. And you told me this after the game. I remember a lot of things that you told me. You used this word. You said that's the most jubilant locker room I have ever been in.
It was. Those kids just hadn't won any close games. And to win that one there on the road in the conference game, I think it turned the confidence meter.
Turned
for
the whole
that
program
team.
Around.
And, you know, and then we go undefeated in the league that year. And
I remember well. Yeah.
And won the Sun Belt. And, you know, and that program's been pretty strong ever since. And so it was. We did have some good players. I mean, DeMario Davis played in the last Saturday.
Sure. He always talks about him.
What a player.
Yes.
I mean, what a player, that kid.
And he was not being used before I got the head job there,
right.
Truthfully. I mean, he just kind of was on the sideline, and for whatever reason, and I wasn't on the defensive side the year before. I don't know, but he was a good player, good leader.
But why is it that you said, I can go to a place and I can build? How can you tell a bunch of four-win guys that they can win 10 games and they believe it? How do you do that?
I think it's a gift. I do. I think every coach has gifts and strengths and weaknesses. I have them both. And I think one of my strengths just has always been able to get a group of people in a room and set a vision forth and be a my wife tells me this is a strength and a weakness of mine, but I can really stress people to – break through whatever perceived ceiling that they have, and I can do it relentlessly, just without every day, you know. Now, will we meet that standard every day? No, but I can be the driving force behind the chase of that standard every day, whether it's academics, whether it's lifting weight, conditioning, or obviously practice and those deals. I can do that. I don't know that I can sustain that for a long period of time because it is draining.
Right.
But I kind of have a self-talk every morning with myself when I'm
self-motivation.
When I'm there, like it's time to go today and set the standard and stress people to break through. And I think we have fun while we do it, as long as that standard's being chased. It's not much fun for those that don't want to chase it. But I have to stress myself to do it too.
One of your other strengths, offensive production. In the time that you were away from the game, what was it like for you, and has your offensive philosophy changed? What did you watch games? Did you pull new things? Mm-hmm. Kind of give us the thought process of how it works for you.
Yeah, I TiVo'd every game possible and would watch them throughout the week when I had time, and just constantly tinkering with how can I make our stuff better, more efficient. I think one of the things that I'm probably more aware of after sitting back and watching is, and I knew this as a head coach, but you've got to really play complementary football. And I knew that, but then you can also say, well, what if we can outscore them by just going tempo all the time? And but that didn't work out as many times as you would hope, watching the totality of college football. And you would kind of think, man, if they really just played a little more complimentary football right here, it may give them a chance in the end. So don't get me wrong, I believe in tempo football.
I believe that hasn't changed.
I believe in RPOs, and I do have some more ways to throw RPOs. My verbiage, I think, is as good as it's ever been. I've really kind of dove into that. And why are we calling it that? Does that really make sense? I want it to make sense for the kids to be so easy. And obviously, I love the one word, two word term stuff.
I was going to say, does that mean simplify it?
Yeah, I don't know if I can simplify ours anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you call something dog and cat, why? You know, I mean, why are you doing that? Could we call it something else that would even make more sense?
Right.
But I don't know that I could simplify it anymore, but just make it a little more sense to them. Like if everything's a superhero, they know immediately it means this word.
Package. Right.
This
right.
screen package. Or, yeah. You know, it's not one dog and one snake and one... You know, I mean, all those different things. If everything's a suit, it's Batman, Robin, and Superman, and all of that, Wonder Woman, they know. Well, I know immediately that's a screen. I right. just get the right one.
Hugh Freeze with us on 3HL. I know you visited with Nick Saban last offseason. How close were yeah. you to becoming the OC at Alabama last year?
I don't know that that was ever really going to happen with Ole Miss being the team that I led,
okay,
that I was the CEO, head coach, whatever you want to call it, even though I was cleared by the Committee on Infractions of you know, everything except for really failing to monitor the booster activity with a couple of staff members. Even though that I was cleared of most of that, the fact of the matter is I was the leader of the program, and the buck has to stop somewhere. And, you know, I just think that those young men can't go to a bowl game, and I'm at a university in that same half of the conference calling plays and scoring 50 a game, I think, with that quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's I understood many people's mentality of that. And while I really appreciate Nick allowing me to spend some time with them, I think in the end everybody kind of agreed that's, you know, and I think he probably already had his guy anyway, and he – You know, Nick's smart. He just wants to learn ideas and all those
yep,
things
right.
too. And
well, you're also a guy that had Alabama's number
yeah.
as well
yeah.
when you were at Ole Miss. Yeah. So.
Kryptonite to Superman.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Well, we had our success. Wish we'd have got them at third time. We really had them down and turned it over three times, but.
See, it's funny. The one you talk about is the one you didn't win.
Man, it's 24-3.
Yeah,
you know, and we're just thinking we're going to roll away with this one too. And not so fast. But so anyway, I just think everybody kind of agreed that that wasn't the best take for best time for me to do something like that.
Coach Freeze, it's so great to see you. And, you know, I've always said this, that the 2011 year, the year you were the head coach, is the most fun I've ever had. Just doing A, my job, B, covering a team, C, watching a football team, being a part. I mean, I could go on and on. You've talked a lot about the past, but there's a lot ahead in your future and this opportunity at Liberty. How much how important is just to have joy in your life?
Yeah.
Just because I'll say this, you've told us a whole lot of stuff today, and you've talked about the impression you make on young people and leading them and all those kind of things. But, you know, there's a lot of joy to be had in the game of football, mm-hmm. you know, and that's, you're the leader, you're the CEO of a team. You can provide that. You can mm-hmm. do that.
Yeah. I'm at a point, I'm at peace with who I am. And I have great joy in my life. I'm so blessed beyond measure, even with the hell that I've, you know, had to endure and caused and some of both. But, man, I have a wife that is just adore and is the strongest woman I know, and three wonderful kids who think their dad is a hero, which amazes me, but... and then friends and family and parents and then blessed by a university like Liberty to give me an opportunity to lead young men and take that program to its first ever bowl game. I said that's what my goal is, and I don't know how fast I can do it, but you mentioned that you had fun covering us in 2011, and I can honestly say whoever covers us, we're going to have a fun team to watch. We're going to make it interesting, and I don't have a whole lot of fear in my life. I don't know that I ever did, but I certainly don't anymore. I mean, everything's, your name's been ripped apart. You're, you've been let go, which I never thought I would. And I used to fear the heck out of that. I thought that would be the worst thing. Well, you know what? You can come back from that too. And probably not, it may not be the last time I get let go, you know. it'll be the last time for that reason, for those reasons. but you know, it's, life is worth living. And I just, there's so many people that have had difficult things happen to them, whether they're self-inflicted or whether they're just circumstances that happen to people. And it's just, I can't imagine. And I do see a lot of people that are without joy because of those things. And yeah, I hurt for them because they probably don't have the support group that I have and had. But man, life is still worth living, and it's worth going forward. And the ones who truly can put the past behind them, and it takes some mental toughness to do that. And obviously there are those that never want you to do that.
Right.
And they want you to remind you every single day of what happened 3, 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago. And I'm sure it's certain if they were in that spot, they wouldn't want that done to them. But for some reason, that's the world we live in today, and if you give that any power, it'll keep you there, and you won't have joy. But really, there's some freedom found in saying, you know what, they have no power, and let's go live today with joy.
Isn't that amazing, though? Like, the freedom in that.
Yeah.
Because what drove you was the fear of failure, right?
Yep.
The fear
yep.
of getting
yep.
fired, and that.
I don't have it anymore. I don't want to go through it anymore,
right.
but I really don't, I don't fear it anymore. And,
yeah.
I think it'd make me a better coach. I think I'm going to be freer to be who I really am with these young men at Liberty.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to really build great relationships with them.
You're on the road recruiting. You talk about joy. You're back now in the game. Mm-hmm. It's, you come in and all of a sudden, it's a little different with this early signing period. What has it been like for you establishing the staff, hitting all these
right
schools?
In the middle of that when you were hired?
It's like, hey, welcome in. Oh, by the way, you have a week.
Yeah. That was a nightmare.
Yeah.
An absolute nightmare. I thought that was the absolute worst. Whoever came up with this early signing period, I thought that was the worst idea of all time.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll feel that way next year.
Yeah.
I may like it next year, but I'm just telling you, for a staff change that happens a week before it, it's misery, and you're trying to convince families to sign with you that you have just met.
Yeah.
And maybe not even been in their home. And I'll tell you how good of a job our guys, that I have to give credit to the former staff, to the few guys I brought in for that week, and then to Liberty University. We brought 10 guys there that weekend, that one weekend we had, and we signed 9 of the 10.
Wow.
And
that's a quick success rate.
That's a great
yeah, that's a nice success rate.
That says a lot about again, the job the previous staff did, and the university selling itself once you get them on campus.
I was going to ask about that because there maybe have been some people that don't know a lot about Liberty and now do because your name is attached to it. Now you're the head of that football program. Give us your pitch. What do you tell recruits? What's great about this place? I mean, obviously, there's something great because you took this job and you had a lot of other chances.
I think it's the resources and commitment behind it. And you combine that with the fact that it honestly is it's imperfect because there's imperfect people that are there. There's no perfect place. There's no utopia. However, this is a place that if you're a young man and you want a certain standard for your life personally that has anything to do with faith, this is one thing that makes it different and unique. When a lot of universities are saying we're not going there, we're not talking that, well, this is one that I absolutely will. And that doesn't mean you have to believe the same way that you don't have to believe a certain way to attend Liberty University. I told them in my interview, I'm just going to tell y'all now, if you want a guy that's going to go recruit a bunch of angels, I'm not your guy. You know, I
love that. That would be a great t-shirt.
Well, I'm done. You know, okay. I'm going to go find me some boy dogs somewhere. Yeah, you know, yeah. Now, I want them to be able to want to chase the standard and want that for themselves, but some have never been taught what that looks like. And I love President Falwell when I was on that rant about it. I'll just tell you who you're getting now. He says, my dad would love you. I will never forget that. Oh, and that was Dr. Falwell's vision, really, in 1971 when he started this place. And then he talked about the football program one day going to the highest level of college football and competing, and here we are, and they're putting the resource behind it. And I just think if kids that are, obviously we're not fixing to walk out and beat the Power Five schools on recruiting every single kid. We might one or two that want to come in and play early, and that'll be great.
And play for you.
Yeah, you might. A quarterback, receivers, they love. We didn't have any problem filling up on receivers.
Oh, I can imagine. Know,
in this class. But
I've seen that whole thing work. Yeah.
But the, the group of five schools, I see no reason if we do a good job recruiting for a whole year and get them to campus and they see the resources and facilities we have, and you get to play four Power Fives a year. That's a good opportunity because everybody's playing. People can say whether you're independent and all that, but but really everybody but one team in a conference is playing for a bowl game. That's what you're wanting to do anyway. So only one team is going to be conference champion. And in time, I think we'll be in one of those two. But in the meantime, we're just like every other team outside of the conference champion that's trying to get bowl eligible, and we get to play in a great environment, great facilities, against Power Five opponents, you know, four or five games a year. What an opportunity that is to prove yourself on a big stage.
I have no doubt that'll happen. I know it will. I've seen it firsthand, and I actually was on the field your first year at Ole Miss. I came for the last game of the year with a couple of other of our buddies.
Yep.
And watched you guys win that game and win the Egg Bowl that first year.
Send us to a bowl game.
Yes, sir.
And Feed Moncrief was popular that night.
I heard that song about 100 times. Then he goes to the Colts and torments the Titans for years.
Yes.
But you know, it's funny. I had seen that happen in my school. And then I watched you go home. And I watched you do that at Ole Miss in front of your friends and your family in the area that you'd grown up. And it was just such a powerful feeling, and I didn't really know those kids on the Ole Miss team, but I knew a lot of the coaches because a lot of those guys were with you. But I've seen it. So when you say to somebody, we're going to be in a bowl game at Liberty, we're going to do this, anybody that's seen your history, they know that it's true. I mean, it's as true as the sun's going to come up tomorrow.
Yeah, I obviously believe it.
I believe
it. Or I wouldn't have taken it. How fast that can happen, I'm not ready to say that yet. I don't know. I hadn't even had a practice yet, so I don't know what we have. But, but I do know we did it at Lambeth. We did it at Arkansas State, even in high school at Briarcrest. And we did it at Ole Miss, and I'm going to use the same formula, same pattern, not changing anything. And I've seen it work and believe it will here also.
I have a generic college football question for you, totally kind of switching gears. You know, Alabama and Clemson in the national championship again. Alabama obviously has been there, you know, for the last five. Is that bad for college football as a whole? Do you think that these same programs that we have, these dynasty programs out there?
I think that it is.
Yeah.
But I don't say that in any disrespect to Clemson or Alabama.
Oh,
I mean,
no,
it's not their fault. I mean, somebody's got to beat them.
It's not their fault. They're the best.
You know, everybody's trying to do that.
Somebody's got to beat them. I think there's been kind of a shift of NFL becoming more popular. Mm. I don't think NFL was real popular in my circles 4 or 5 years ago, the way I see it right now. Maybe that's, it's because I watch more of it, but I think, yeah, it's for two reasons. One, NFL coaches have now caught on to this new offensive world.
Yep.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm, and
speaking
and
of,
working.
Did you get calls from the NFL
so,
too?
I'm not there yet. I did meet with a couple and do a little ball talk, but but no overtures there.
Offensive ball here with some of these guys.
Yeah. But I think it's because of that, and then the parody. Mm-hmm. I think it's created, you know, just, I mean, it seems like that's caught on some. The one thing that, and maybe this skews my opinion some with the Alabama-Clemson rematches, which, again, credit to them. But I was never for the four-team playoff, simply because I really felt like it would diminish the other bowl games. Mm-hmm. If you're not in a New Year's Six, and so, you know, people don't, this is a great trivia question, but the first college football playoff to come out, the top four teams, I don't know, can you remember who they were? You know, I do. But but you know, we were one of them.
Right.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, we were one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're one of, I believe, only six teams that went to two straight New Year's Six games.
Right.
Well, that was awesome. It was fun. I will never forget the Sugar Bowl. Standing with my father and Archie Manning on the sideline, who was like, you know, I mean, that was incredible.
Yes.
And then we obviously played really well and scored a lot of points and had just a blast in New Orleans, you know, with that victory. And however, now, if you don't, I quickly realized from our people, if you don't go to a New Year's Six game, it's not perceived as that other bowl game is not perceived as
it's
a bad year. And I hate that for so many teams in college football.
Mm-hmm.
That could be the case. And I don't have the answers. But I do think it probably, I think parity's good.
Mm-hmm.
So again, no, it's not Alabama's or Clemson's fault. They should keep doing what they're doing.
Right.
But I do think parity is good for college football.
Interesting.
Coach Freeze, thank you very much,
sir,
for the time.
Thank
we
you.
Really appreciate it. Know you're busy recruiting,
yeah,
in town in Nashville. It's an honor that you chose to come in here and spend an hour with us. We really appreciate it.
You guys are good people, and thank you for having me.